Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. North Carolina's public education system already faced a raft of enormous challenges prior to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, from the glaring racial and geographic inequities that plague our schools to the overall decline in per-pupil expenditures provided by the legislature in recent years to renewed demands from our judicial system that the state live up to its constitutional obligation to provide every student with access to a sound basic education. It's clear that state leaders face some daunting tasks. Fortunately, the state is not without a number of strong advocates and researchers who are working hard to blaze a trail forward. One of those leaders is the new president and executive director of the Public School Forum of North Carolina, Marianne Wolfe. Wolfe, who assumed the helm at the forum just last month, comes to the job with a long and impressive record of accomplishment in education, and she joined me earlier this week to share her take on some of the most important issues confronting our state. Well, Marianne Wolfe, welcome to News and Views. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
You are the new executive director and leader of the Public School Forum of North Carolina. This is an important organization that has played a huge role in furthering public education in our state. Talk to us a little bit about why you wanted to take on this job and maybe sort of what your vision is for the forum and for the work you'll be doing in the years to come.
Sure. Thank you so much. You know, when you look at the mission of the Public School Forum to provide trusted, nonpartisan, and evidence-based research, policy analysis, and innovative programs to really support public education and our students in North Carolina, that mission is very much related to what drives me, I think, in all my work in education. And many, many years ago, I had a chance to work in D.C. and spend a lot of time working with all 50 state departments of education and really working to advocate for what our schools and our students need. And for the last several years, I've had the opportunity to be at the Friday Institute, where we focused on building leadership capacity and supporting teachers through professional learning across the state and the country. And the role at the forum actually allows me to bring those worlds together and really focus heavily on our students in North Carolina and what they need. And I think right now the forum has demonstrated their deep commitment to equity and equity through the launch of our new Dr. Dudley Flood Center for Equity and Educational Opportunities, but also through our events like The Color of Education. And to me, equity really is at the core of the work of the forum, but also everything that schools are really thinking about right now seems to often come back to that. And so I'm delighted to be able to be a part of this organization and work to provide trusted policy and research to the field.
It seems like really a critical moment in the future, or I should say in the history, really, in the future of public education in our state. There are many people, you know, who launch a lot of attacks at our public schools, even call for, you know, a move away from the traditional idea of public schools. And meanwhile, our public schools struggle with funding. We have some wonderful success stories in our public education system, but we have many students who are not succeeding. Talk to us about this moment and some of the big themes that we're going to need to really address if we're going to make public education work.
It is such an interesting time because in the last few months, especially as we all deal with the pandemic, I've always seen our schools as the hub of our communities. But I believe that in the last few months, we've seen that more and more as our schools and the communities around them have really, I think, been able to provide so many services to our students, even when they couldn't physically be in the building, from making sure they have lunches and food. Many places are even providing food for the weekend, but also checking in with students to make sure they're doing okay and their families are doing okay, all the while striving to provide learning opportunities for our students. And so I think one of the things that we can't ignore is just how much our schools have been critical to the ability for us to make sure we're caring for our students as we move forward. It is an interesting time, and I'm reminded a couple of weeks ago, the Leandro short-term action plan actually came out that both the plaintiffs and the defendants had worked together to submit this plan to the judge. So we're certainly waiting on next steps, but I was encouraged by the fact that there's a very systemic approach as we look at this that we're taking that I do think really supports us doing a better job of providing a sound basic education for all students. And areas like thinking about our finance and accountability systems are absolutely critical. And can we look at those differently to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our students? I also really appreciated the fact that they took note of the need for very strong and effective principals and teachers for every student. And there's a focus in there, if you look, around developing pipelines so that we can have effective principals and teachers in every school, but also thinking about how do we make sure we have diversity in our workforce so that students have opportunities to see teachers and principals that are like them. We also saw intense investments in the whole child. And I think that's really important when you think about the fact that school counselors, nurses, social workers, and psychologists do so much for the social and emotional learning of our children, which is also as important in the same way academics are. And so when I looked at Leandro, I felt like it not only raised the very important issues, but this action plan really did provide a way forward for us to support all of our districts and our learners.
You refer, of course, to the long-standing Leandro lawsuit that was brought against the state of North Carolina, in which the Supreme Court ruled a quarter century ago that every child in our state has a constitutional right to a sound basic education. But of course, it's something that's yet to be fully realized. There has been this new action plan that sort of once again charts out a path to us actually providing that for our kids. One issue, of course, that leaps out, however, is the issue of funding. There's no doubt about the fact that our public schools need more money, that that's got to be an important part of making Leandro a reality. What are your thoughts there? Do you have any optimism that our state is finally going to grapple with the fact that our schools need more resources?
So I think that is a huge question and a very good one. And it's particularly interesting with the coronavirus. When I looked at the action plan, I was encouraged that I did not feel like we took a step back with those recommendations, knowing that the action plan recommendations will carry significant costs. But at the same time, I think as we look forward, part of what the forum has continued to do is to provide that information about funding in each of our school districts, where it comes from, whether state, local, or federal, and where there are significant gaps. I think something that I think about a great deal is that we often look at our funding across districts in North Carolina, but I also think it's really important to look at how we compare to the national average. Mm-hmm. And as a state, we continue to struggle greatly for where we are in terms of overall per pupil funding for students and those averages. So I think it's really important that we not only look across our state and recognize those disparities, but that we're willing to recognize that we're several thousand dollars below the national average in our per pupil expenditures in the state as well. And I think that's a really important aspect of this work as we go forward, is making sure that we're thinking about this. And I do appreciate, as we look at a state, I think we need to say, what does it take to educate our students and make sure they have a sound and basic education? And that does include the whole child and these different aspects of teaching and learning. What does it take? And then what does it cost to do that effectively? And I think there seems to be wide recognition that there are gaps that are not acceptable, but it's how are we willing to really do what we need to do in order to make sure that every one of our students has what they need for a sound basic education.
You've touched on another elephant in the room in the public education world these days, which is, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic and the enormous, perhaps even just almost impossible challenge that we face in terms of trying to find a way to bring our children back to school, our educators back to school, and do so safely. Talk to us about your thoughts about how we're going to do this. How are we going to pull it off? What is our best path forward? And what seems optimistic? What seems of concern to you?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that not any district or school leader, educator, staff, parent, anyone in the community wants to be having the debate that we're having, right? Like, we're all frustrated by the fact that we can't do what we know is best for kids and have everyone in person every day. And maybe something will change between now and 6 weeks from now when schools are supposed to begin. But we all, I think, are wrestling with this reality that one educator actually said to me, we're almost going for the least bad option. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's something there. Like, none of these are, it's hard to really get excited about them. And yet, I'm so encouraged by the creativity and the perseverance by district leaders, school leaders, teachers, parents, you know, and our students, because they're all just jumping in and saying, okay, what are we going to do and how do we make this work? One of the things I think when we look at this, the forum takes a deep understanding of what's best for kids and how do we move forward. But we know that as we consider how much we can be in schools, there are a few challenges that we have to be considering. And one of those is safety, and it's safety of our students and our teachers, staff, and families. And so as we make plans, we have to be thinking of all of those things. And you see the complexity of it, how every single decision point leads to more questions. And how can we do this with social distancing and making sure we have appropriate numbers in our schools or in our transportation, those kinds of things. One thing I've also seen, though, is almost every district that I've talked with is offering some kind of a remote option for families who feel like they really want their student to have a virtual learning option this year because they're not comfortable if we move to a hybrid or in fully in-person option. And I think that is our districts listening to their families and understanding their needs. I also know that many districts are surveying staff and trying to really figure out how we meet the needs of those. So with safety paramount, I also see some ingenuity happening and some trying to figure that out. Another top priority that hits on our earlier conversation is how do we ensure equity as we're working to provide robust, meaningful learning opportunities. And I think that's really important. We had to switch on a dime in March from what we did and what we knew how to do every day to suddenly being fully remote. And we learned a lot in the process, and our districts and schools will share that. So as we're working towards next year, equity continues to be at the forefront, but also how do we make sure we have even more robust and meaningful learning opportunities for our kids? And so we have seen things like broadband and access to devices that can be a hurdle. So many districts are working to solve that. I think the state has been supporting and trying to make sure that there's technical assistance and other, you know, access to opportunities there. But we also know that homes vary. Can a parent work remotely? You know, there's a lot of different student risk factors, and there are these funding disparities across districts. And so the last 3 months have exacerbated a lot of these challenges. But we do see as the summer and we go into next year that that equity is at the forefront. And as we think about, you know, I think meals, but also all these other aspects, I think we are making progress, but we're going to continue to have that at our forefront and know that sometimes those take additional resources and do our best to support our districts and our schools so they can support the kids. And then the last thing that is definitely at the forefront of our minds right now is that school districts have taken on a lot of additional expenses, and there has been some funding from the state and from the federal government to support that. But we know that it really has shifted, you know, what they're having to do in order to provide schooling and school opportunities for our students. Districts need to be able to count on that they will have the resources they need to support changes to the learning plans. But also, as families make decisions, districts need to know that this budget they plan for is what they are going to have at a minimum. And so I think as we move forward, it's a place for state leaders to take action so that districts can know that we will, in fact, have those budgets. So I guess I go from being encouraged by people believing in the importance of figuring this out and going above and beyond through almost every district has a task force and other things. But also I'm reminded just of how complicated this is and how we will continue, I think, almost on a weekly basis, if not daily, to have to learn and figure out what we can do to keep kids safe while also making sure we're meeting the needs and caring for our students.
Wow. It's a big task that lies ahead of us. And we're so glad that the Public School Forum is out there providing the research, the data, the insights, the vision, really, for where our schools need to go in North Carolina in order to thrive and move forward in these challenging times. And we're so glad that you've taken the helm at the Public School Forum. Marianne, thank you so much for being with us. Marianne Wolf, we look forward to talking to you again later, perhaps this summer, and talking about some of the ways in which the schools successfully got their act together and reopened for the new school year.
I look forward to that very much, Rob. Thank you so much.
Coming up next, how do we reopen schools? We'll hear what national and state leaders are saying. Stay with us.